week I was at Wednesbury, and then yesterday I was down in Redditch for the induction of a new minister who was starting there, David Helston, and I bring you their greetings, and I'd love to be able to take yours on. And I forgot to take a picture last week, and I'd love to be able to do that. Is that okay?
Yes.
Good. If any of you don't like it, have a word with me afterwards, and I won't use it. So, do you want to give a little wave or something? Yeah. Great. And over here. Thank you. Won't forget this side. Thank you.
May I?
Oh.
Oh, I won't forget.
Hang on, I'm missing Richard.
You will see
me. Okay. Thank you. Who are the Baptists? Just going to share a little bit about this. So, next slide, please. There are about 51 million Baptists scattered around the world in 128 countries, and we go back 400 or so years to 1612, when Thomas Helwys started the first one in London, in Spitalfields in London, and gradually the church grew from there. But what makes a Baptist church? Next one, please. Often we use the word Baptist, we think of baptism. We dunk people in water. Believers' baptism, it's absolutely fantastic. I'm very committed to that, because we, as we go under the water, we're identifying, dying with Christ, and we come up to a new life. We don't hold people under 3 days, as Jesus was in the grave, but we identify with Christ. But there are many other things here that I've just jotted down that help to identify as a Baptist church. So it's not just one thing, it's the Lordship of Christ. There is only one Lord and one God in whom we worship. We believe very much in congregational government. That is, together we discern what God is saying here. You don't have, Baptists don't have people from outside dictating what you do. But as you come together, you're hearing something of that voice of God, and in response to that. And you can read some of those other things, and it's the combination of those things together that help to make us, in that sense, Baptist. And the next one, please. But we're part of a wider family here, and Baptists together, that's in this country, exists to grow healthy churches in relationship for God's mission. So the next one, please, which should be a little map, I think. And well, you can see something there. So from Baptist churches, we start with the local church. We're not an authoritarian organization where things are dictated down, but it's quite the reverse. So we start with the local church. The local churches come together and to see how can we best support one another. And that's why you have an association. And I'll talk in a moment a little bit of some of the things that we focus on there. And there are 13 regional associations around the country. And Wolverhampton is in the heart of England, Baptist Association, which is basically the West Midlands. And I'll share one or two things a little bit more. And then the associations say together, well, there are some things that we can better do together rather than all trying to do the same thing. And that's where the Baptist Union and through Baptist House comes together, and they have a few specialist teams to give a specialist advice and help and support, and there's a better way of doing things rather than everybody trying to do their own thing. But we also support one another. The next one, please. And home mission is the way that churches in Bugby support one another financially. And I want to say thank you for your gifts to home mission. And they are really important. And so where does that money go? And it's important that you know that. So the next slide, please. And it goes in three ways, really. So there's the national resource at Didcot. Then obviously some of the money will go there to enable that to run there with the specialist teams. Some of it comes to the association as well, so that we have a staff team that we support and say thank you for that. So part of your giving goes towards what I receive in my stipend. And then we also give grants out to churches that struggle to afford ministry. So some churches, they will come to us and say, well, we'd love to have a minister, but we're not quite there financially yet. And so we will give a grant to enable them to afford a ministry. So the money goes in those three different ways. So what about Heba itself? The next one, please. And these are our offices. We moved a couple of years ago, and we're now based in Sutton Coalfield. Well, it's on the Erdington-Sutton Coalfield border, just near Spaghetti Junction, or about a mile or so from there. And we have 156 churches within Heba. So from Staffordshire in the north, down to Herefordshire in the south, the Welsh border, and then over to Rugby. It's basically the West Midlands region, and there are 156 churches there. And we seek to support one another. And our emphasis here is on growing healthy churches. And from my point of view, we see the churches are on the front line, and we want to fan what God's doing in the churches and encourage that sort of ministry that God has. So we have a few values, and our foundational value is companionship, walking with one another, watching over one another. And when we've asked the churches what do they value most, they say we value someone to walk alongside us. And that's our foundational value. Innovation, I'd just like to highlight that one. God's always doing a new thing as well, isn't he, within us. We must not stop growing. If we stop growing, then we go backwards. And God's continuing to do something. And so what we encourage as churches is to see what that new thing is that God is doing. And that will be different from church to church. And so one church may have been doing something for a long time, but actually for another church, they've never even thought about that, and that's innovative for them. So we call it innovation, and we long to see people come to faith, to see transformed lives and transform communities. And that's what we want to really fan. And then lastly is Baptist Assemblies coming back here to the West Midlands, to Telford. And that's on the 17th to the 19th of May. If you go on the Baptist Union website, I should have put the something up there so you could see where to log in. But if you put in Baptist Assembly 2024, it will take you there. And you can go just for the day or for a session, so you don't have to go to the whole thing. So that's from Friday through to the Sunday. And you'll be very welcome to join in with Baptists from around the country as we meet for our annual gathering. It's over Pentecost weekend too. Thank you. All right, thank you. Bless you.
Thank you so much, Adrian. We'll take a couple more worship songs now before the reading. Our next song says, Jesus shall take the highest honor, because all honor and all blessing and all power belongs to him. So let's rise as we sing together. Jesus shall take the highest honor. Jesus shall take the highest praise.
Your mind. I think we're probably on a wrong slide there. We'll go back to the beginning. Thank you. We like to think of good things when we think of church. But for most, if not all of us, sometimes we struggle a little bit with church in some ways. So, not quite there yet. Anyway. Nope. Nope. We'll come on to that one. Okay, and the next one, and the one after that as well now, please. So to live above with saints we love, that will be glory. And the next one, please. To live below with saints we know, well, that's a different story. I don't know if that's your experience. And some people do have that little bit of experience that We have this wonderful idea of what it's like to be church, but then the reality is it doesn't quite turn out that way. And the next one, please. Mick Jagger. This was his experience. He says, Jesus Christ was fantastic, but I don't like the church. The church does more harm than good. Well, I can't deny whatever his experience was, but that's not my experience of church, and I do not want that to be your experience of church as well. And the next one, please. Church for some has been a little dull or maybe boring, and people sometimes think we live in a different world. But actually, for me, the church is alive, it's dynamic, it's vibrant, and it's exciting, or at least it ought to be something like that. And as we live, we sometimes don't portray a real image. We portray a bit of a broken picture sometimes. But that doesn't take away the reality of the wonder of the church. And I want to focus a little bit this morning on the identity of the church and the two passages that we had from Isaiah and also from 1 Peter talk a little bit about church, and they'll come in as I talk through this morning. So there is a Greek word, called ecclesia, which means those that have been called out. And when we look at it in the Bible, in Scripture, it's used in three different ways. So it's used in the way of meaning the universal church. And in the church, God has appointed. So it's talking about all of God's people everywhere in the church. But also we see that same word used when it's talking about a particular local church. I want to commend to you Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. Or we hear the church in Ephesus, or the church in Rome, or the church in Colossae. So in a particular town, the church in Wolverhampton, we may read. But also, as we read in the scriptures, it also refers to a small group of people who are simply meeting in a house. So in 1 Corinthians 16, it talks about the church meeting in Aquila and Priscilla's house. It's the same word. Also, greet also the church that meets at their house. This is at the end of Romans. So what is the church? Well, the definition, is that I have. We can say that the church is an assembly of believers meeting together with God and with one another. And that excites me, and hopefully we'll grab something of that excitement of church. And I know through Richard that you've been looking a little bit at church in recent weeks as well. But in English, we use the word church in different ways, and that's where some of the confusion arises. And so I think we use the word church in our English language in four different ways. So it refers to a building. So people will say, this is a church that we're meeting in. So which church do you go to? People may say, meaning which building do you rock up at on a Sunday morning? It also refers to a denomination. Which church do you belong to? Baptist, Methodist, Anglican, whatever. It refers to the institution of church. You don't go to church, do you? And then it also refers to the, and I've entitled it professional ministry. You're not going into the church, are you? So in English, that word church is used in a variety of different ways. But my friends, there's nothing special about the bricks and mortar that we meet in, because it's the people that are special and set apart for God. It's the people that God has put his mark in. What's the Bible say? We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So when we give our lives to Christ, when we say, I want to be a follower of Jesus, God comes and lives within us, and he puts his seal and his stamp and his mark upon us. And we're called into that relationship with God. And therefore, we become God's people. I've met some people who say, well, I can be a Christian on my own at home. But the Bible knows nothing of being an isolated Christian. I'll come back to that in a little bit. Because we are called to meet up with members of our own family, God's family. And we'll see something of the purpose of that later on. So as we read through the scripture, we see some different images of the Bible that comes to the fore. And I've got four that I want to highlight a little bit this morning that hopefully reflect something of that excitement about what it means to be part of the church. So the first one is the people of God. I will be your God, and you will be my people. God regularly shared this. He made a covenant with Noah right at the beginning, and then with Abraham and his descendants, and with Moses and with David. So in the Old Testament, we hear God saying, you will be my people. And then when we move over into the New Testament, we see that picture continuing. So in the reading we had from 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, you are a chosen people, the people of God. If I would commend to you a book this morning, it's this one called Know the Truth by Bruce Mill. When I went to college, good long time ago now, Bruce Milne was one of the lecturers at college, but I only had him for a term, and rather than lectures, they were spiritual experiences that we had in the lecturing, and real encounters with God that we would have. And this book gives lots of different basic understandings of theology and in topics, and it talks there a lot about the church. And Bruce Milne says, the church is essentially the living community of those who have responded to the call of God. The church is essentially the living community of those who have responded to the call of God. So the picture we have is that we are the people of God. But we see other pictures as well. The body of Christ is the next one. Paul is especially fond of this image, and we see that particularly in 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. We are one body, the body of Christ, but we have many parts there. And when we come to Christ, we belong to that body of Christ. It doesn't mean that we're all the same. In fact, Paul probably emphasizes our differences a little bit when he talks there about being the body of Christ. But we work together. We are one, but we need each other. So for some, it's a hand, or others is an eye, or others is an ear, or, you know, we are different parts of the body. We are made differently. We have different gifts and skills and abilities. But when we come together, we are the body of Christ together. If we were all a hand, that we couldn't be the body with just a hand. We need an arm and a leg and an eye, and then we need us all together. And part of that is we all play our part. God has gifted us all separately and differently. And as we are able to use those gifts together and we share them together, we reflect the body of Christ. So this morning, as we come, don't hold back on being involved within the life of the church. God needs everyone to play their part, and the church here. And we are the richer for it when people play their part. The next picture we have is the bride of Christ. This is a vivid image that has its roots in the Old Testament. And Israel was seen as God's bride. And last year, Pam and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary, so I've put a picture of us up there. And the other one is my son, who got married a couple of years ago, and that's Kirsty, his wife, and she's associate pastor in a church up in Aberdeen in Scotland as well. Jeremiah 2, I remember the devotion of your youth and how as a bride you moved me, says God. Jesus took up this metaphor when he referred to himself and the bridegroom. How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he's with them? The image speaks of a relationship born out of love and out of commitment. We are called to single-mindedness in our devotion to God. And that's part of the picture that comes out within the bride of Christ, united together, the two becoming one. And then the last picture is the building of God. I know I said in English, we refer to this building as the church. But we see something of a metaphor of building in church, but not bricks and mortars so much. And it starts in the Old Testament, where God is present with his people in the tabernacle, and it houses the Ark of the Covenant. And later, God's presence is reflected in the temple that was built by Solomon. And there was always the inner place, the Holy of Holies, where God would reveal himself. But when we move into the New Testament, we see Christ is the foundation stone. And Christ himself is the chief cornerstone, we see there in Ephesus. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives within you? And actually, the word for temple is naos, which refers to that Holy of Holies part that was part of the temple. And then when Christ died, that was opened up. The curtain was torn in two, meaning we enter into that relationship with God. We don't have to go through another person, the high priest that only met God once a year. But each of us, as I said earlier, has that stamp of God upon us. And God lives within through his Holy Spirit. In the reading again we had from 1 Peter 2, you also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house. There are many more pictures that we have within the Bible. The kingdom of God, the family of God, the flock of God, the vineyard of God, the army of God. There are many different pictures, but all of them talk of a corporate nature. They show our togetherness, that the church is dynamic, it's growing, it's something that is living, it's not something that is static at all. The church is alive, it's not dead. And that should excite us. And we are part of that church, and we are part of the living organism of church. And that's why it's so important to meet together, why we can't be church on our own at home. What does Hebrews 10 tell us? And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Even in the time of the New Testament, there were some that had stopped meeting together. In here, the writer to the Hebrews is encouraging, don't give up meeting together. And sometimes when we go through a little bit of a struggle, we, as it were, we take the hump and we don't turn up. And we drift away, don't we? But my friends, part of our lifeblood comes through one another, spiritual lifeblood, that is. And here, as we come together, we spur one another on. We encourage one another. You know, when one's down, the other one lifts them up. One's struggling, another one comes and puts their arm around them and walks alongside. My friends, I don't know what I would have done without the church, you know, in the times of struggle, and as well as the good times. And we all need each other. And we need to encourage one another in our walking with Christ. We're in that spiritual battle. Satan doesn't want us to glorify God. And he will make things difficult for us at times. And that's why we need one another to simply encourage. And sometimes to get our vision back again. Because sometimes we'll get a bit of a warped vision. I'm excited by the church. And all of us have a place within this. And in the Old Testament, there was a focus on the children of Israel originally. God had made a covenant with one nation. But it wasn't God's intention that others are excluded, because he wanted to bring his blessing through one nation to all people. So that's when God spoke to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God's intention right from the beginning was not just one nation of Israel, but actually for all people. And that's what we have today. And that something of that excitement in coming together. Our reading in Isaiah 56. The prophet was looking forward to the day when those who would be excluded would be welcomed. And he mentions two groups in particular, the eunuchs, castrated servants, really. They're included, he said. Foreigners, that is anybody who wasn't a Jew, you're included as well. And even there in the Old Testament, we see that. My friends, God's invitation isn't limited to a few people. He throws his doors open and he gives an invitation to one and to all to come and to serve God, the living God. My friends, there's nothing better than knowing God, entering into that relationship with him. He's called us to be his ambassadors as well. I just love something of that, that God could choose to do his own thing. But actually, he wants to communicate his message through us, through each one of us, to others. And together, he wants us to do that. And that's the church as we come together. So this morning, Richard mentioned a little earlier that if anyone wanted to know about how to become a Christian, to have a word, let me throw out that invitation a little bit more. Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you have that living relationship with God? My friends, he wants to have that with you. And his invitation is there waiting for you to belong not only to him, but to his people as well. Be a part of his family this day. Amen.